Tonight, I'm going to talk about a subject that many people don't want to talk about because they have trouble with it, but that's okay. It's good to talk about things we have trouble with. It's always good to know your weaknesses, right? Now, I don't know. All my life, I've heard a lot of people have told me that they have trouble with their love walk, which is kind of hard for me because the Bible says that we have the love of God set abroad in our heart. The Bible tells us that God is love. And if we're a follower of God, we have to be a follower of love. And so we shouldn't have trouble with our love walk, but sometimes we do. And basically, it's because we let the flesh win. But tonight, we're going to start off looking at what my grandfather always called the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read from the New Living Translation, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. In fact, my grandfather said that whenever, he was counseling people on marriage counseling, and people come to him, and when they were having issues, the first thing he would always do is tell the husband and the wife that they should read this chapter every day. Every day. Over and over again, because, you need to get a hold of what the Bible says. And sometimes we forget about what the Bible says. Sometimes we know so many scriptures, we forget about certain scriptures we should know. But, it is interesting to read these verses of scriptures and find out that sometimes we might not be walking in love because sometimes we're not doing what the scripture says. So starting with verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13, the NLT says this: "If I could speak in all languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal." Now, I know a little bit about clanging cymbals. Some of you may or may not know that I used to play the drums when I was younger, or more the percussion instruments in the band and stuff. And, I remember one time, sixth, seventh grade, that I was taking drum lessons, but I was also playing football and all kinds of stuff. And so I was really busy because almost every day I had football practice. Then I come home and do my homework. And so my parents were getting mad at me for not practicing my drums enough. So I decided the good time to practice with drums was 6 a.m. Now, if you've noticed up here, we have what we call a drum cage. And the reason we have a drum cage is because those cymbals are noisy, and the rest of the section of the rhythm section, they don't like hearing those cymbals ringing in their ears. All right, the drummer's okay with that because drummers are okay with that. And I'm here to tell you is that you can play softer or louder on the cymbals if you want to. All right. Well, at 6 a.m., I decided to play louder because why not? Really, I didn't care about irritating my parents. It was more I want to irritate my sister, because that's what I did. Growing up in life, I had a goal that was to irritate my sister every day, and I did it pretty well. I also got a lot of spankings. My mom had a paddle there's some truck stop in New Mexico that we would go stop through because we travel in the motorhome, and this place had a paddle, and it said the heat for the seat, and my mom would buy multiples. I mean, we had extras, or extras or whatever. Sitting in a closet. She kept one in the car, and stuff like that. And so I got a lot of those. But I was just trying to practice my drums. And so my dad's like, but it wasn't the drums are irritating enough, but the cymbals are really irritating. And, and that's why, like I said, we have a drum cage here. My dad's like, well, can you not use those wire brush things that we bought you? I said, no, because I got to have the feel. You have to have the right feel. In fact, that's why a lot of drummers don't even like digital drums or digital cymbals, because they don't have the right feel. They have a different feel. They're not a cymbal feel. And so I would play the crash cymbals, in the band, dun 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 dun. And there's some songs that they'd want to resonate. And my teacher would make sure we hold them out, and I'd make sure I hold it out over the horn section in front of me to resonate because it was irritating. The point is, if you do not have love, you are irritating. All right, I'm telling you how I was irritating, and I've done that a lot. I've been pretty irritating to people, but I still love them. I always irritated my sister in love, by the way. Just want to make sure, add that. But a lot of us, we're irritating. I mean, there's really not a whole lot more, a clanging cymbal is really not a good thing. So if you really want to get get to your, you know, your friends or your family members. If they have a little kid, buy them a drum set. Not a digital drum set. I'm talking about one that, you know, one of those little kid drum sets that has cymbals on it, because that's irritating. All right, just want to let you know. But some of you are just as irritating because you do not have love. Going on, it says this: if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. You know, it doesn't matter how much faith you have. If you don't love others, you're nothing. I mean, you know, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. You know, and a lot of times we don't think about it. You know, we think about, well, you know, look what I believe God for. Look, well, but look at your life. Look how you treat people. You know, and anyway, it goes on to say this: if I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. I want to really look in verse 4 here. It says, love is patient and kind. You know, a lot of times people aren't very patient, especially at restaurants. And do you realize now, some of you may or may not know that a lot of our students here at the college are servers. A lot of our church members actually are servers at various restaurants, and a lot of them have been servers at various restaurants, because it's a job you can still go to school and then do that later at nighttime. And so you never know if your service Rhema student, even if they're not, there might be other people. I mean, they might be server and not your server, but you know, I always tell people, if you're not going to be nice to your waitresses or waiters, then tell them you're not from Rhema, please. Because I know people that you know, they'll think bad about us because, you know, they don't get good tips or whatever. But, you know, you understand that servers are doing their best most of the time. And sometimes they say, well, they're not doing a good job. Well, you know what? Just be patient and kind. All right? Patient and kind. Now it's kind of weird to say that actually love is kind. Because, you know, if you really love someone, wouldn't you be kind to them? You know, and I thought about this, and I thought about a lot of times. It seems that people are more kind to the rest of the world than they are to their own family. A lot of times at their house, I mean, I've seen husbands and wives and boyfriends and girlfriends, they go at it like crazy, and they're supposed to love each other. You know, and they're not very kind. But, you know, if you're not being kind, you're not being very lovely, and you're very irritating. You know, so love is patient and love is kind. I mean, you know, I know it's kind of bad when you have to wait 5 minutes for your hamburger at McDonald's. I actually was in line behind a guy who griped out the lady there because he actually waited 5 minutes for his hamburger at McDonald's. They actually had to cook a fresh one, and he was mad about it. Or he actually got some hot fries, and he was mad about it. I mean, you know, I'm actually happy to have hot fries and hot hamburger, all right? I don't want warmed over fries and warmed over hamburger, but if you want to be impatient, eat the old stuff and be happy with it. But, you know, love is patient and love is kind. You know, there are some times that we're not very patient, and we need to remember that love is patient. You know, you should think about this. And the next thing it says, love is not jealous. You know, a lot of times that we, even as Christians, get a little jealous, especially when somebody else believes God for something and they get something, you really would like to have that, and you didn't get that. Sometimes we're a little jealous. We're like, well, how come they always get this? How come they always do that? And, you know, maybe if you'd be nicer, you would get it too. All right? It says also it's not boastful or proud. Now, I want to say this. You know, sometimes when we're giving our testimony, how God blessed us, sometimes we do it a little boastfully and proudfully. And that's why people get jealous and mad and irritating. So you know what? It's okay to tell how good God is and what he's done for your life, but don't be just too proudful and too boastful. You know, and there's some people that actually act like Christians are better than everybody else in the world. You know, you're no better than anybody else in the world. All right? You're just saved. So act like it. You know, I know a lot of times people say, that the reason they don't, you know, most people don't come to church because of the pastor. They don't come to church because of the congregation, because they don't feel accepted. You know, a lot of times people, we used to say, especially in days gone by, well, they didn't have the right clothes to wear, because when they showed up without the right clothes, people kind of looked bad at them. Because, you know, everyone felt that they were better than them. You know, you always had sister better than you and brother better than you in every small church in the world. You know, but it doesn't matter how good you can pray, you know, how awesome you are. If you're boastful and proud, you're not loving. And, you know, we shouldn't be boastful or proud. Or the next thing is we should not be rude. You know, and sometimes I get it. We don't always mean to be rude. Sometimes we, you know, we're a little short or whatever. Now, it is interesting. A lot of times, too, that we're rude to the wrong people. Meaning we're mad at somebody at work and we go home and take it out on our wives. Or, you know, we have misplaced anger. We're mad at our kids and we take it out on people at work. I don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of times we're rude to people and they didn't do anything to us. You're just irritated for whatever reason. Now, here's the thing with love. The Bible doesn't say that people have to love us. Do you understand that? Real love is being able to love someone who doesn't even love you. Or at least they don't act like it. And they say, yeah, but they're a Christian. They should love me. Doesn't matter who they are. You can live in a garage and not be a car. All right, just like you can show up every time the church is open and still not act like a Christian. You might be saved. You might have punched your ticket to heaven. You know, there's a lot of people that are walking around with a boarding pass, but that's all they got is a boarding pass. You know, they haven't got a hold of that scripture. Forget not all his benefits. They're just holding their guy. I got my boarding pass. Soon and very soon, we're going to, you know, meet the king. The roll is going to call up yonder. We're going to be there. But we're going to act rude and mean. And you know, just because somebody's mean to you, now here, you know, doesn't mean you be mean back. Now, here's the thing is sometimes the reason they're mean to you or rude to you is because you are a Christian and they're not. Well, that's not a way to get boastful and proud because, you know, na-na-na-na-boo-boo, I'm going to heaven and you're not. I mean, you know, now, no one really says that, but some people act like it. You know, but the thing about it is when you love someone, you love them regardless of how they act back to us. And sometimes, you know, as a parent, some of you have maybe, you know, had some of your kids not act really Christian-like or some of your family members not act really Christian-like, but you love them anyhow. You know, I mean, you know, as a parent, there's really nothing your kids can do to keep, you know, to make you not love them, just like there's nothing that we can do to keep God from loving us. God loves us unconditional, but you know, the God kind of love is the kind of love that God wants us to have toward the world, you know, because God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But you know what? If God so loved the world, then so should you. Not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You know, a lot of times that we're so busy condemning the world. I understand. I don't agree with a lot of worldly things. That's why they're called worldly things. You know, and the people who are doing them are probably called worldly people. But you know what? We have to love the world and the worldly people. You know, But a lot of us are irritable and rude. A lot of us are rude online. You know, we probably wouldn't treat that person like that if they're right in front of us, but, you know, online is a whole lot easier to be rude. And then sometimes people, we don't even think we're being rude, but they think it's being rude. I mean, there are so many times online that I've, I like to joke with people or whatever, and there's been times I've actually typed things out and not send it because I'm saying that person would think it's funny. But other people that don't know that my relationship, you know, they might think I'm being rude to that person. You know, man, Pastor Craig's being really mean to that guy. You know, and so they don't know. And then it causes a whole bunch of problems. So I just figured, well, sometimes I've actually erased what I was going to put on Facebook and sent him a text message. So that way it's just between him and me. So I was going to comment on Facebook, but, you know, because I know you're going to think it's funny. But everyone else is going to think I'm being rude to you, so I'm not going to be rude to you. And then sometimes you feel like being rude to some of these people, but you just don't because you love them anyhow. Then there's some people you might want to love from afar. You know, there are some people maybe you don't want to always hang around, because when you hang around them, you know, they're irritating. But you know what? If you do have an opportunity to be around them, just be happy and be nice anyhow. You know, I think Jesus is our ultimate example. When he's hanging on the cross, he's sitting there hanging on the cross. You realize that they had a choice to let a thief go or let Jesus go, and they chose the thief. And so he's hanging on the cross, you know, his last moments, and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't even know what they're doing." I mean, he loved them anyhow. Even though that they had a choice to put him on the cross or not. Now I understand that he was fulfilling prophecy and he was fulfilling his destiny and all that. But, you know, these people still were mean and rude to him. Jesus still had feelings. You know, a lot of people don't think Jesus had feelings, but he walked earth as a mere man. He had feelings. All right? And we all have feelings. And a lot of times, you know, we don't think about other people's feelings when we say stuff and we don't realize that we're not being very loving. We're being irritable and rude. It goes on to say, does not demand his own way, or basically be selfish. A lot of people are selfish, you know. It's really, I mean, it seems that this generation, you know, it's all about me. It's all about who I am. I mean, you know, we're the selfie generation. I mean, there are some people, I know what they look like every day because they take a selfie of themselves every day. So, I mean, but I found out, I used to take a lot of selfies, but my wife got mad at me because I said I needed to edit my selfies. And I'm like, well, that's not really a selfie. That's a Photoshop selfie, you know, trying to show people what I want to look like and not what I really do look like. So that's not even me. I mean, that's not being genuine. So anyway, goes on. It's not irritable. Like I said, don't be a clanging cymbal. It keeps no record of being wrong. I'm going to talk about that in a moment because that was really my point of this whole message. But anyway, it goes on to say, it does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. You know, sometimes we secretly rejoice when somebody else gets hurt or somebody else goes through a trial or tribulation. You know, we're almost like, well, they deserved it. But you know what? When you're a Christian, you don't get what you deserved. Being a Christian is not getting what we deserved. It's getting what we don't deserve. And, you know, we shouldn't wish that somebody else gets something bad for them. You know, some people say, well, it serves them right. No, that's not the Christian way to think. That's not how God thinks. Do you understand? The way we can walk in love is that we have the love of God set abroad in our heart, and we think like God thinks instead of how we think. You know, we have head knowledge and we have heart knowledge, and you know, I get it. I mean, we're all humans, and the first thing that when someone does something to us is our head goes, beep, 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 I'm going to get them back. All right, but that's whenever you have to let your heart take over. That's when you have to know the word. That's why it's important to read the word, so you have the word, so you know the word, so the word starts coming out of the inside and said, you know what, that's not the good thing to do. Let's walk in love. You know, and sometimes walking in love is walking out of the room when you're fixing to explode, when you're fixing to give someone a piece of your own mind. See, you know, if you have the mind of Christ, you can't give anyone a piece of your own mind. You have to give them the mind of Christ. So if your heart's winning over, you're going to give people the mind of Christ. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, we want to give them our natural mind, our natural thoughts. And so sometimes the best thing to do is walk out of the room. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is not type that response on that email or that, especially social media, because you understand with social media, everyone sees it. You know, how many times have you read your news that so-and-so tweeted something? Now, it's been since erased, but here's a copy of what it said. Do you understand? People make copies. I mean, I don't know how many times I've taken a screenshot of something that somebody said on social media because I know they're going to pull it down. But they ought not have said it. All right? And so if you ought not have said it, you know, remember your mama said if you can't say something nice and don't say it at all, then some people should shut up. And that's walking in love. You know, and I know that's not fun and that's not, you know, but that's the way it is. Now, it goes on to say love never gives up. You know what? There's people that you love, you just don't give up on them. I don't care how they treat you. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. You know, if you love someone, you never give up. You never lose faith. You're always hopeful and you endures through every circumstance. Love endures through everything. You know, there are people I know that in life that have grudges with certain other people. And I've talked to both of them. And I'm like, well, what caused this little rift between you and them? And they can't remember. It's been so long. If you can't remember, is it really worth holding a grudge? But I know some people that hold grudges and you know they can't remember why they're mad. And then people get mad about the dumbest stuff. You know, they fight about, you know, the stupidest stuff. You know, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. You know, it's not like someone's not going to get saved or someone's, you know, it's really stupid to fight over. You know, I know my grandfather always talked about him and other ministers, instead of getting arguments, they would choose to agree not to agree on certain things. And they would have a friendship and things like that. But the way we live now, man, if you don't believe everything I believe, I can't hang around you. That's stupid. You know, I mean, I can hang around anybody. I don't care what they believe. Number one, I have the love of God that are brought in my heart. And I'll hang around anyone, whether they believe in God, whether they don't believe in God. I'll gladly have dinner with them. I'll gladly hang out with them. You know, I don't want to try to force God down their throat. I'll just try to be a nice person because I want them to understand that Christians are nice people. And Christians, you know, they because that's really the knock on most Christians is we're not really nice. And we don't really care, you know. Anyway, going back to it keeps no record of being wrong. You know, I believe that this is the start of problems. When we start keeping a record is when we start, is the very start of having a grudge. Because, you know, sometimes maybe it's like, well, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm going to put that back in my, you know, back burner. I'm going to remember this. You know, there's moments that people remember. I mean, you know, moments in time, and you probably remember where you were 9/11. You know, you probably remember where you were, you know, different times, you know, in life. You know, probably remember where you were when John F. Kennedy got shot. I wasn't here. All right. But a lot of people remember that. I've seen videos. I actually have gone to the site. I've listened to conspiracy theories. I've watched all kinds of cool stuff on this whole thing. I've seen the grassy knoll, you know, and all these stuff, but I wasn't there. But there are things in life that you remember where you were, you know. A lot of times we remember when people wronged us. And unfortunately, a lot of us have played sports. You know, one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game. And so a lot of times, you know, when we count to three, then we're done. You know, but here's the thing. I mean, you know, I understand baseball is a game of three. You have three strikes and you're out, three outs and you're out of the inning. But guess what? I don't care if you got out this inning, you're going to play next inning too. So just because somebody wronged you and they did it three times doesn't mean, you know, you're going to play next inning too. And you're going to play next game, and the next game, and the next game. There's no three strikes and you're out. And plus, you're not even under that rule. You're under the rule that Jesus gave us, the 70 times 7 rule, which equals 490. And actually, whenever he was talking about one day, not the rest of your life. It wasn't like, because I know some of you want to have a 490 clock. There's one. There's two. You're used to counting because, you know, your parents did that to you. One, two, three, four. You know, whatever. So you have the 490 clock. And if you have to keep score that long, you have issues. You know, but the thing about it is, if you'll forget about the score, it's a whole lot easier to be nice. It's a whole lot easier not to start that grudge. A whole lot easier not to get mad at somebody next time you see him. Because you can't remember the score. Because you know what? Whenever we ask God for forgiveness, he doesn't remember the score anymore. He doesn't remember all the strikes that we had. In fact, you know, when you look at history, think about this. Nobody remembers how many strikes that Babe Ruth had. Or, you know, any slugger. Barry Bonds. I don't know how many strikes he had because it doesn't really matter. Ultimately, he hit a lot of balls over the fence. Now, some people said he might have been juiced. I don't know. No one's ever proved that anyway. So we don't remember those things. So you know, the good thing is quit keeping a record of wrong. And if you're keeping a record of wrong, you're just as wrong as the person that wronged you. It's wrong to keep a record of wrong. If you're keeping score, you know, if you're able to send a text message and say, you know what, this is the third time you've done this to me, then you're wrong. According to the Bible, because you just you kept score. You know, and I get it. There are people that have wronged you many times and whatever, you know. But the thing about it is we still love them anyhow. We love them in spite of their faults because God loves you in spite of your faults. We've all had faults. We've all, you know, committed sins. You know, I get it. Some people say, well, that sin's worse than another sin. But, you know, I always point out the Ten Commandments. You know, there's a couple commandments. One is thou shalt not kill. That's a pretty bad one, we think. Another one is thou shalt bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. You realize it's the same score. If you take a test, there's 10 questions there, and you get one wrong, then you're going to get a 90%. Now you're thinking, well, yeah, but I lied, and, you know, they killed somebody. Well, you both have 90. If you lie and kill someone both, you have an 80. So, you know, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we're not keeping score. Who's keeping score? If you're not keeping score, it doesn't matter what someone's done, you know, in the past. I mean, you know, praise God that old things are gone away. Our past is our past, and our future is our future. And you know, you can never live in the past. All you can do is reach toward the future. I'm going to leave us off in Mark chapter 11. Keynote scripture here, verses 23, 24, and 25, NLT version. Most of you can quote 23 and 24. 25 you have trouble with. Verse 23 says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But, see, most people forget the but here. No one wants to do anything up to the butt. But when you are praying, so you're still praying here. You haven't stopped praying. You understand there is no chapter and verses when the Bible was written. It just was a continuous line. And this is red letter. This is Jesus Christ talking. He says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. So you know what? You know, if you're holding a grudge against somebody, let it go. Blank the score out. Make it 0-0 again. Make it a new game. Okay, another inning. We're going to start another inning. I understand you lost that inning, you know, but we'll forget about that. You know, it's a new inning. Now, I want to go back to the original King James Version here. Most of you probably like me is you actually learn how to quote the scripture in the King James. But I like Mark 11, 25 in the King James. And I don't even know how I, you know, why I like it, but I just like this word. It says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I like the word ought. And I don't know why I like the word ought, but a lot of times people always tell me, say, Craig, I've forgiven that person. So I always ask him, okay, then why if I talk about the person, do you get mad? Do you realize that if you're ever... there's ever a person that you have forgiven, and then it comes down to maybe that you don't hang around them anymore, or you're not really close friends or something. But you know, there's functions. Maybe they're here at church, or maybe you go to a wedding and they're at a wedding, or you go to some kind of Christmas party or whatever, and you're some kind of place, you know, or even at the mall, and you run into that person. If you run into that person, as soon as you see that person, something on the inside is like really weird. Or you think it's really weird to actually talk to him or hang around him, then that's ought. And you ought not to have that ought. So if you walk in a room and there's somebody else over there that you want to make sure you don't really want to run into, then there's something between you and them. Someone's keeping score. Someone's doing something here. And you ought to get rid of it, because that's what we call ought. And you ought not to have any ought. Now, the way to get rid of ought is you do what you ought to do. All right? What you need to do is you make a beeline toward this person, and you talk to them, and you treat them like a human being. You treat them nice. You don't have any score. You don't say rude remarks. You don't say things that are cutting. You don't say like joking type things that are kind of rude. You just treat them like a normal Christian brother, like you would treat your own brother. And that's a good way to get rid of ought. Now, here's the thing. If you walk up and they're uncomfortable, you can't do anything about them being uncomfortable. That's between them and God. They ought not to be that way, but I'm not going to be that way. Because that ought can keep me from getting my needs met. That ought can keep me from having the blessings that God wants me to have, and I'm not going to have the ought anymore. I'll give you an example. One time I was at the mall, and there was a person who had said some things about me to somebody, one of my friends, and that I trusted, and I know he's not lying to me. And, and it really, the things really hurt me, and because I really had nothing bad to say about this person. But so I'll tell you exactly, I was at Woodland Hills Mall, I walked out of JCPenney's. All right, I walked out of JCPenney's, and I wasn't shopping at JCPenney's, I just parked there because it was a good place to park. Not nothing wrong with shopping at Penny's or whatever, but I was walking out there because I said I wasn't shopping there. I was walking out to go to the main part of the mall. And as soon as I came out of JCPenney's, I saw them walking, and they were facing the other way, going toward the middle of the mall. And so they would have never seen me. At least not at that point in time. Maybe they would have saw me later. So as soon as I saw that person, immediately my natural man kicked in, and I wasn't very happy. I'm like, there's that person who said that thing about me. And all of a sudden, when I got mad about it, all of a sudden something came up on the inside and said, are you going to stay mad about it? Or are you going to let it go? Now, here's the thing, is this person could have kept walking, and I probably would have never run into him unless I ran into him later on in the mall. So I made a beeline for this person, caught up to him, walked up, and he's been a really good friend. So, I didn't shake his hand. I gave him a hug, and I was nice to him, and I treated him with respect. And as soon as I did that, actually, I could tell he was kind of feeling weird, although he doesn't know that this person told me anything. No one knows anything. But you know what? From that day forward, we've had no problems. He's actually said some really nice things about me to some people or whatever. And I believe it was because of that moment that I didn't let the ought mess me or him up. All right? And we all have opportunities to get rid of our ought. And you ought to take that opportunity. If there's somebody that you know that you've been keeping score against, then maybe you need to let the score go by. I don't care who did what. I don't care if it was your fault. I don't care if it was their fault. Just go and apologize and get rid of it. Get rid of anything between you and them, because you ought to do it. And I know we all sometimes can think about someone that we're holding ought against, and it's good not to have any ought, because it's really good to have our needs met. It's really good to have a clear conscience, that there's nobody that I have ought against. There's been people who've been doing some, pretty mean things and pretty bad things, but I love everybody because everybody loves me. I know I'm everyone's favorite. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, if I'm not your favorite, that's okay. I act like it anyway. I'm God's favorite. And the thing about it, but so are you. And so I'm going to treat people like I think my God treats me. He treats me like my favorite. Especially if you're married to him, you probably should treat him like your favorite. Because sometimes we don't. We're all guilty about not treating people like our favorite. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing in our lives. And Father God, we thank you to help us just to walk in love at all times. Not be rude, to have patience, and to be kind. But Father God, help us to not keep any record of wrong toward anybody. And help us if we have any ought toward someone, help us to get rid of that ought. Help us to get rid of that unforgiveness and just let everything go. Father God, we just thank you that you'll help us to let that love of God that's shed abroad in our heart always come out at all times and help us to be the loving Christian that we need to be. Father God, we just thank you for it. And we thank you, Father, the next time that one of us has an opportunity to either walk in love or not walk in love, help us to choose to walk in love. Whatever we need to do to do that, help us to do that every time. Father God, we thank you if there's someone here that needs to read the scripture every day, that they'll read it every day, that they'll remind themselves how someone should act that's walking in love at all times. Father, we just thank you for everything you're doing in our life. And we just thank you for great things happening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.